This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Kusu Chuang and Brian Fernandez. Now, late last night, both RHB Bank and MBank requested suspension of trading in their shares pending a material announcement. Yesterday, if you remember, BFM had an exclusive on the merger's potential delay. That is the merger between those two banks. Chuang, could the suspension be connected to those merger talks?
Well, we don't know because the material announcement will be happening quite soon. And it's taken the market by surprise because last night, when I checked the Bursa Malaysia website, these two trading halts came to the wire at 7:36 at night. Okay, so both the banks have gone until the end of this month to tell the market what's going on in terms of where they stand on these discussions, and for them to call a halt 9 days before this deadline has caused, of course, the markets and the tongues to wag considerably. Of course, this merger is obviously a top-down approach by the central bank because it just wants our banks to be more competitive globally. If M and RHB were to get together, it would create Malaysia's number four bank by assets by some way. It would give the Islamic banks, subsidiaries of both entities, a bigger stake to wave on a global hemisphere, as well as the fact it will result in the country's biggest asset manager by assets under management. So, obviously, there's a lot at stake here, but there's much more to it than meets the eye than this.
In fact, to help us get to behind the story, because there's somebody who's been following this story for some time now, Joyce Goh, of course, the newest member of the Morning Run team. Joyce, could you help us understand what's at stake here at this point in time?
Right. So basically, what we're looking at is, the merger, as Chuang has said, right? So it's going to create, if it happens, the fourth largest bank in Malaysia. But right now, as we have reported, as BFM had reported yesterday exclusively, that potentially there might be some speed bumps along the way, potentially like the due diligence process revealed quite a lot of things. So at first we heard that maybe the talks might be longer than expected. But what we're hearing today, like post the thing, it could maybe, they might not even marry. I don't know. There are three scenarios right now, right? So it could go on, it could be off, or it could be extended.
Right. So do we have any understanding? You said the due diligence process revealed things. I mean, do we have any understanding of what those things might be?
Yeah, not a lot. But from what we understand, there could be some contingent liability in M that could be an issue. But I tried looking at the annual report, and it's not anything there yet, but it's just we wrote to the banks on Sunday. Both the banks replied to us yesterday as we reported. So but the suspension is definitely a surprise.
So Joyce, this contingent liability obviously is large enough to have a big material impact on deal and potentially be a deal breaker as well. So is that probably one of the key reasons you think in terms of this suspension, or there's probably more to it?
I think it's very hard to say.
There's two things to distinguish here. One is, right, of course, market rumor, which is, right, where speculation lies, and that's, mm-hmm, where, that's where in an information vacuum, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And then you've got what is factually established.
Right.
And what is factually established is that in November 2015, Aero Malaysian paid a fine to Bank Negara amounting to 53.7 million ringgit for non-compliance with certain regulations. And this dealt with the Financial Services Act, specifically Section 234 and Section 245, in respect to non-compliance with those certain regulations. That allowed Bank Negara to impose financial penalties on Aero Malaysian. And to satisfy this obligation, Aero Malaysian entered into a four-year program with Bank Negara to invest in structures, systems, and training. So that's what we know from a factual perspective.
Right. And I think AMMB CEO Dato' Sulaiman has said that they have paid their dues. This was in August 2016 when it comes to things related to 1MDB and all that. He came on the record to say that. But I do not know to what extent the due diligence found. But I know that, of course, this contingent liability, it's not an annual report, but maybe management accounts. I'm not sure. It's not, basically, it's not public information yet. But I know the due diligence did uncover a few things. There could be other things. But it is not as, from what we understand, it's not as smooth sailing. But then again, this material announcement that we're waiting, it could be three things that.
It still could be good news for the bride and groom.
Yes, right. Okay. Yes.
Now, moving on, consolidation is on the cards for SCOMI Group. The loss-making company will be merging with its two listed subsidiaries, SCOMI Energy Services and SCOMI Engineering. And that will mean both SCOMI Energy and SCOMI Engineering will be delisted from Bursa.
Yeah, so what we know about the energy sector, since I think the downturn started in about June, July 2014, when energy prices came off from about 90, 95 bucks per barrel to, you know, as low as the mid-20s, I think, a couple of years after that. So the energy sector in Malaysia has been going through a lot of tough challenges because we have a whole cadre of suppliers and service providers to Petronas, which is the mothership where energy sector is concerned. We've got something like 3,700 suppliers to Petronas compared to about 700 plus for the Norwegians, for example. So we've got to get more efficient. Now, this whole top-down sector approach, it's kind of like the financial services sector, where Bank Negara wants banks to get together and get bigger. In energy sector, Petronas wants our providers to get, you know, to get together and get bigger and stronger as well. So SCOMI Engineering, of course, they're going to be doing this in terms of cobbling together the two other listed subsidiaries into one larger SCOMI Group, which will then become more competitive.
But one of the things with the SCOMI, one of the things has actually driven this is the fact that SCOMI Engineering has almost half a billion ringgit dispute with Prasarana in terms of, I think, a contract. There's a lawsuit of regarding to the monorail expansion contract, which I think then PwC or their auditors, it's KPMG, cast out on their ability to continue as a going concern. So by consolidating those three entities together, you then perhaps have the ability for it to move forward. Also, SCOMI is looking at new businesses. There is market talk that they are looking to go into the energy sector, the alternative energy sector, and to sell some of their intellectual property to third parties to monetize some of the technology that they've developed in the rail business over the years.
So it's kind of like a family with siblings all over the world and the parents saying, hey, why don't you come back from Melbourne and Singapore and we'll, you know, become a big happy family once again.
A reunion dinner,
except it's not Chinese New Year. So under the terms of the plan, shareholders of SCOMI Energy and SCOMI Engineering will swap their shares for new SCOMI shares. SCOMI Energy shareholders will get 3 new SCOMI shares for every 5 held and 1 warrant for every 9 new SCOMI shares issued. That whole deal is valued at about 108 million ringgit. SCOMI Engineering shareholders in turn will get 10 new SCOMI shares for every 7 held and 1 new warrant for every 10 new SCOMI shares issued. And that deal is worth 30 million ringgit. So obviously, you know, the SCOMI group will get together, be one big happy family together and maybe become a stronger entity going forward.
So the distant relatives, are they going to be happy? I mean, the shareholders?
They only got to ask the parents. La.
Well, ask auntie and uncle.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Following the disposal of its Singapore subsidiary, City Neon, Star Media Group will soon be sitting on a pile of cash. It says it has plans to invest outside the media sector, but also Star has declared a bumper dividend of 30 cents per share, in addition to an interim dividend of 6%. Is this unusual, or is this just the Star being good to its shareholders?
Well, first the numbers, okay. So second quarter 2017, net profit dropped by 81% to 8.5 million ringgit, and top line revenue dropped 22% to 129 million ringgit. So obviously Star Media Group is a going concern. Their core segments are print, radio, digital. Well, not digital, because it's quite an ancillary business at this point in time. From a core operating perspective, the business segments are not growing as fast as it should because on a national level, advertising expenditure and sentiment has been hit badly the last few years. The issue here is whether or not Star Media Group is doing the prudent and safe thing to do by not reinvesting this money, which it's gained from selling City Neon, into new businesses, but by giving to shareholders, and whether or not that's a prudent move to do or not.
They're giving some to shareholders, but I think they are holding some cash back because I think they receive 360 million for the City Neon and they're paying 30 cents special dividend and a 3 cent interim dividend. So that will come out to 260 million ringgit to be paid, and then they still have some money left to be invested in new investments or something.
They've got 375 million cash, they'll be returning 266, they'll have 109 million left over after this whole exercise.
Mm-hmm.
They'll, in other words, be depleting the cash pile by about two thirds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when times are challenging, should you be giving money back to your shareholders? And don't forget that their 42.46% shareholder is the MCA.
So one of the things is Chuang, and let's use a contrast of one of their competitors, Media Prima. Media Prima is aggressively investing in new businesses. They brought the Rev Asia. Obviously, the Rev Asia deal is one of them. They're also doing lots of new content syndication deals outside of Malaysia.
Home shopping, for example.
And they've invested in home shopping. They are investing for the future. So with the Star, it seems, you know, I'm quite puzzled that they're not making bets.
In their announcement in Bursa, they did say that going forward, they're going to look at potentially fresh investments. They didn't say what.
Correct.
Yeah. You know what's so important, though, you know, Chuang, you mentioned MCA, because for people who don't remember, this is the Malaysian Chinese Association, one of the major parties of the Barisan Nasional. We are, in fact, going into an election year. You know, it could be held as late as August next year, but maybe that has a material bearing on this particular
and not
move.
Business per se.
Who knows?
Who knows? We can only speculate.
Yeah, but it is a challenging landscape for media companies as a whole because of the environment, the disruption that the industry is facing. So I think all of them are trying to figure out what to do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, very quickly, we also have that story about Johnson & Johnson. It's been ordered to pay almost $500 million to a woman who said she developed ovarian cancer from using its baby products. One of those kind of iconic class action suits that is happening in the US now.
Well, this is basically a victory for the little person, isn't it? Because she has alleged, and I think successfully, having seen the court verdict, that the talcum powder has is obviously carcinogenic and has caused such ovarian cancer. And on a larger perspective in the US, and this is a Wall Street Journal story, this lawsuit is yet another in the sense of the fact that now there's been a record number of litigation claims against corporates in America.
Fascinating. Really a story that we should go deeper into. Chuang, after the news, you have, as your guest, you'll be speaking to Dato' Yusli bin Mohamad Yusof, President of the Malaysian Institute of Corporate Governance, on The Breakfast Grill this morning. Stay tuned. We're coming up to the news. And after that, The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.